So the reading is on page 994 and is Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. Please keep your Bibles open at that page as we look at it together. Before we do so, let me just say a short prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I've called this talk A Faithful Response. And I guess that many of you will recognize this story under a different title. Not the parable of the bags of gold, but the parable of the talents. So I wonder, where did it get that name from? Well, the Greek word that our Bible translates as bags of gold is talanta, from which we get our English word talents. So what's the connection then between bags of gold and talents? Well, it says in verse 15, if you look at it, that the master gave each man a sum of money according to his ability. And so today this word talent has come to mean a special ability, a person's skill or flair in some particular activity. So, what was a talent on a talent originally then? Well, its original meaning was balance or a pair of scales. Rather than a sum of money, a talent was a weight. In particular, a weight of precious metal, gold or silver, perhaps. We're not sure exactly what weight Jesus was referring to here, possibly as much as 100 pounds, about 45 kilograms or so. If you look down to the footnote in your pew Bible, you'll see that a talent represented about 20 years' wages for one of these servants. So it would have been a huge responsibility for these three men. Well, Jesus' story goes on to tell us how the servants faced up to that responsibility. Notice, first of all, then, that this story isn't about how hard we work, as though by our own efforts we could earn a place in God's kingdom. Rather, it's all about how we respond to God and use the gifts, talents that he's given to each one of us. Well, I've found five things that we can learn from this story. And if that sounds scary, don't worry. I'm going to be fairly brief. You'll find those headings on the third page of the service sheet. And the first one is, God knows us by name. God knows us by name. Look down with me again at the beginning of this story in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Well, the first thing we notice then is that Jesus didn't treat each man the same. So, was he showing favoritism to the man who was given the most money? No, he was simply treating them as individuals, knowing their strengths and their weaknesses. One of the best loved names of Jesus is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." He says it again a few verses later in verse 27. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In Jesus' day, sheep would have been kept primarily for their wool rather than for meat. So each sheep be with their shepherd for many years. The shepherd would give them all names, brown leg, black ear perhaps, and he would know each one of his flock by name. The rather wonderful and perhaps slightly scary thing is that God knows each of us by name. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses, and he deals with us individually. And the next thing we learn is that the faithful servants get their reward. The faithful servants get their reward. Look at verse 16. "The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So what reward did they get? Do the faithful servants get to sit back and relax and put their feet up, knowing that they've pleased their master? Not a bit of it. Look at what the master says in verse 21, and it's just the same in verse 23. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Yes, they do get to share the master's happiness, but he gives them more responsibility. "I will put you in charge of many things," he says. as we faithfully serve God and enjoy his presence, so he calls us into further service for him. And it's in that service that we as Christians find true happiness. Well, that moves on to our third heading. I told you I was going to be pretty quick, didn't I? So pay attention. Take risks for God is the next thing. Take risks for God. Then there's the third servant. He played safe and hid the money in the ground. In verse 24, we're told that he saw the master as a hard man, and indeed as an unjust man, reaping the rewards of other people's labour. Look at it, verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." He was afraid of displeasing his master, so he didn't take any risks with his money. Perhaps Jesus was aiming this story at the Pharisees here. They had set God's laws in stone. They were afraid of any change and wanted to keep everything exactly the same. But you know, sometimes we need to take a risk for God and step out in faith. What a risk the Apostle Peter took when he mixed with the Gentile centurion Cornelius and his household, eating with them, enjoying their hospitality, things which he, as a good Jewish man, was forbidden to do. So much so that when the leaders of the church back in Jerusalem heard about it, they criticized him until they heard his explanation. Well, you can read all about this story in the book of Acts, chapters 10 and 11. In 1982, I was employed as a teacher in Penzance in Cornwall. I was a senior head of department in a big comprehensive school. But I felt that God was calling me to give some years of my working life to serve him full time with Youth for Christ. And so that brought me and my family here to Hastings. We had no fixed source of income other than that which local Christians gave to support us. What a risk, you might say, to give up a secure, well-paid job and trust God to provide. But let me tell you what a blessing it's been for me and my whole family. And what a privilege to serve God in this way. Take risks for God. Fourthly, there's a curious twist towards the end of this story, which I believe tells us to use it or lose it. Our next heading, use it or lose it. Look down at verse 28, where the master says, "So take the bag of gold from him," that's the third servant, "and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them." Well, this always puzzled me a little bit. But, you know, I think what Jesus is saying is that if we don't use the gifts that he's given to us, they will fade. Use it or lose it. If someone teaches you how to send an email on your computer or to thread the cotton on your sewing machine, but you never get to send emails or use your sewing machine, then you'll forget how to do it. Perhaps you learned to play the piano when you were young, but you never kept it up. And now, if you sit at a piano, your fingers just feel awkward on the piano keys. But if we use the talents that God has given to us, whether it's playing an instrument, or painting, or cooking, or even playing golf, we get better, and the talent grows. So it is with our spiritual lives. As we read our Bibles and pray and meet with other Christians, so our faith deepens and we are more and more able to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. Use it or lose it. Well, the final truth from this story is this: Jesus will return. Jesus will return. The key element in this story is in verse 19. Look at it. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Well, the master in this story, of course, represents Jesus himself. He may no longer be with us in the flesh, but the Bible promises us that he will return. Although notice, it may be a long time before he comes. Someone once counted that there are over 300 references in the New Testament to Jesus' second coming. And the teachings of Jesus in this chapter are all about this awesome event. In the first part of the chapter, Jesus tells his disciples a story about 10 virgins. 5 were wise and were prepared for the bridegroom's return and were welcomed into the wedding banquet, and 5 were foolish. They weren't ready for him and they were locked out. And then Jesus tells us this story, the parable of the bags of gold or the talents. Finally, in the rest of the chapter, Jesus says that when he does come a second time, he'll come to carry out God's judgment on mankind. And there will be a fearsome separation of the righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous will be welcomed into the Father's presence, and the unrighteous will suffer the fate of this third servant. Look at verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many people, you know, today complain there's no justice in the world, that innocent people suffer while the guilty often go scot-free. Well, Jesus warns us that one day there will be a day of reckoning. All wrongs will be righted and all sins punished. So what are we to do if we're to avoid this fearsome judgment? Well, look again at verses 21 and 23. They're just the same. Can you see the word that's repeated again and again? Those servants who used his gifts wisely, the master calls faithful. My dictionary tells me that the word faithful can mean loyal or devoted, and it can also mean full of faith. And I think both of those meanings are present here. Good and faithful servant, the master says. You have been faithful with what I have entrusted to you. So the answer is that on that day of judgment, Jesus will be looking for people who are faithful. Yes, Jesus is calling us to serve him by loving and caring for his people and indeed all of his creation. But above all, he's calling us to be full of faith, to trust him, to save us from judgment through his completed work on the cross, where in his death he bore God's righteous anger in our place. So, my brothers and sisters, dear ones here at Emmanuel Church, let me urge you today, be ready. Jesus will return one day to judge the earth. My prayer is that in that day, we will all hear those words of our Master. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this story and the challenge that it brings to us to respond faithfully when we hear you call. Help us to grow in faith, to trust you more and more, and to serve this needy world for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.